Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
When embarking on a digital transformation, most organizations find that it ends up becoming a shock to the system. It's very disruptive to the organization. It creates a lot of chaos and turmoil. Why exactly is that? Why do so many digital transformations experience this sort of shock to the system? That's what I want to talk about here today. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients throughout the world reach their third stage of digital transformation success. And one of the common statistics in the industry is that over 80% of digital transformations fail. Not because the technology doesn't work or not because there's not great potential upside for these technologies, but instead it's because there's such a operational and organizational disruption that happens along the way that it creates problems that cause the project to go off track. So in many ways, it's a sort of shock to the system that's very disruptive. And by the way, when I use the word disruption in this video, I'm not talking about disruption in a positive way. A lot of industry analysts will talk about digital disruption in a positive way, as in we're going to use technology to disrupt our business model or to disrupt our old way of doing things. That I would view as a positive disruption, but what I'm going to talk about here today are those negative disruptions that oftentimes get overlooked in a digital transformation. I'm going to explain why those disruptions happen, and most importantly, explain what you can do to mitigate the risks of those disruptions. Now, for more best practices like what I'm going to talk about here today, I encourage you to download our Digital Transformation Report, which is an annual report we publish each year. It contains a number of best practices and lessons learned from digital transformations throughout the world. It also includes a number of independent software reviews and rankings to help with your digital transformation. You can download that report by either scanning the QRC code on the screen in front of you, or you can go to the links below to download this white paper as well as other industry reports that we've included for you. Now, before we get into the whole reason why disruption happens to an organization, it helps to understand first and foremost what the magnitude of change is that your organization is about to experience. And I'm going to whiteboard what I mean by that. I'm going to give you two scenarios here, or two examples. First of all, you're going to have Company A, because I am good at coming up with creative titles like that. Company A, and then you have Company B down here. And these two companies are about to go on two very different journeys. Company A is going to go through an upgrade of their current systems. So they've got a legacy system that's, we'll call it 10 years old. It's not completely broken, but it's not completely up to date. They're gonna stick with that same software provider and they're gonna upgrade the solution. So this is their future state. And I'm gonna call this incremental, even though it's a little bit misleading because no change is really incremental. Most changes are a lot bigger than you think they're gonna be, but we'll call this an incremental change here. And then over here, you've got Company B that's using a really old system. They've been on this system for 30 years. It's a system they built themselves. They developed it in-house. Only one guy or gal in the organization knows how to support the system. And what this company is gonna do is they're gonna go from that current state to a bigger improvement, which is now they're gonna go to, let's call it a fully multi-tenant SaaS cloud system, a really modern ERP solution, let's just say. So that's their future state. And we're gonna call this massive. We'll just call it a massive change because again, I'm really good with creative terms like that. So this is massive change, this is an incremental change. These are two very different scenarios that these two organizations are about to go through. This company here is not gonna have an easy road, but they're gonna have an easier road because they're not making as big of a change. Their future state is not that far off of where their current state is. It's still a big jump. It's probably a bigger jump than even they realize, but it's not nearly as big of a jump as this situation here. Company B has a lot of risk here. This is a big, massive overhaul. So what that tells us is a couple things. One is that Company B is gonna take a lot more time and effort and cost to get to their desired future state. The second thing to note is that Company B is gonna face a lot more risk. Company A will absolutely experience risk, and they'll absolutely experience time commitments and resource commitments, but it's going to be much greater for Company B because of the profile of the change that they're going through. So that's the first thing, is to understand what the magnitude of change is, and it's fair to assume that Company B is going to experience more disruption, or at least they're at risk of experiencing more massive and significant disruption to their business. For example, if you were to pick which of these two organizations is more likely to have trouble shipping products at the time of go live, it's probably going to be Company B. If you ask which of these two organizations is going to have more trouble running payroll or closing the books after they go live on new technology, probably Company B. It could be both of them, but Company B is more likely to have those sorts of material operational disruptions. And so what I want to do now is talk about what is it that we can do to fully understand these scenarios, and later in the video I'll talk about what exactly we can do to mitigate those.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Another reason why there's so much disruption during digital transformations is because the speed of change on the technology front is typically a lot different than the speed of change on the operational and organizational front. So let me explain what I mean by this. Let's assume here that Company A could theoretically deploy their future state technology in, we'll call it 18 months. In this example, it's going to take them 18 months to do just a technical implementation. This is the time it takes them to design the upgraded software, the time it takes them to test it, to deploy it, to train people on it, all that stuff. It's going to take them 18 months, or so the vendor tells them. Down here at Company B, let's just say it's going to take these guys 3 years. And that's the expected duration for the technical implementation of the software. Sounds good so far, right? But here's the problem. If it takes us 18 months to deploy technology, that doesn't necessarily mean that the people that are moving from here to here are going to move at that same pace. It could mean that to get to this future state that only takes 18 months from the perspective of technology, it might take 2 to 3 years for the people and the processes to move to this future state. So on paper, we've said this is going to be an 18-month process, but in reality, it's going to be 2 to 3 years because our people and processes are going to take this long to change in the way that we need to support that future state. Same with down here. We say it's going to be 3 years to do the technical implementation, but it might be, let's say this is a multinational organization with 50 locations throughout the world, 20,000 employees, whatever the numbers are. It might actually take 4 to 5 years to get the people and the processes to catch up to the technology. So that's one of the biggest problems here, is that when you look at Company B and at Company A, they're both taking a lot longer here with this portion of the process, which is the people and process. That oftentimes is going to take a lot more time than this, which means that's not relevant. It's not going to be 3 years, it might be 4 to 5 years when we consider the critical path of people and processes. So that's the sort of thing we need to think about, is what is the actual duration going to be? And the reason this is such a big deal is because if we planned on 3 years, but it's really going to take us 4 to 5 years, oftentimes we don't realize until we're halfway or even further into the project to realize that this is not attainable, it's not realistic. It was always going to be 4 to 5 years. But here's the problem. Most people stake their budgets, and in some cases their careers, on the timeline that they put up front. And then when they come to realize that it's going to take 4 to 5 years, oftentimes that's not acceptable to the organization or to executive leadership. So they end up cutting really important parts of the project. They'll cut change management. They'll cut training. They'll do a couple less rounds of user acceptance training. They might cut different modules or different capabilities out of scope. Whatever the case may be, they end up cutting back, which diminishes business value and oftentimes creates even more disruption than if they would have just had a realistic plan to begin with. Now, I want to talk a moment about what are some of those cultural and operational impacts that can cause these numbers here to turn into these numbers here. And if you really think about what most organizations are trying to do, it helps to unpack that to understand how these disruptions happen. So let's use this global Fortune 500 massive organization as an example here. We'll keep building on this here. In this example, let's assume that Company B wants to standardize business processes. They want to standardize roles and responsibilities. They want to consolidate functions and move to a shared service model. Some pretty massive, significant operational and cultural and organizational changes to the organization. That's very disruptive. That just takes time. There's a lot to work through there. And back to my points earlier, the technology is probably going to get there a lot faster because of those disruptions. So we really have to look at what is it we're trying to accomplish. If we're more like Company A and these aren't really major changes to the organization, let's just assume we're not going to do any massive overhaul of our processes or any massive reorganization. Okay, maybe we are going to finish closer to 18 months. But if we are going to make improvements to our business processes, we're going to rethink people's roles and responsibilities, then it's probably going to take longer than what we expect up front. And this is a big deal because technology has advanced so much that the capabilities are so far ahead of where most organizations are starting that that gap, that chasm, is greater than most organizations realize. So this all begs the question, what do we do about it? If we're getting quotes from our vendors that tell us 18 months or 3 years or whatever the number is, chances are very high that they are focusing on the technical implementation, the technical work stream. Chances are also very high that they are not focused on the people and process aspects of it, the other work streams that are more likely to cause delays and that are more likely to determine the real duration, time, cost, effort, and risk profile of the overall transformation. So when we're doing our digital strategy, there's a few things we can do to mitigate this risk. First of all, you want to take plans with a grain of salt. So I'll just write grain of salt as a trigger here, or a memory jogger. So anytime we get one of these plans from a software vendor, we want to recognize that those are, first of all, probably overly optimistic, and second of all, they're probably not including the people and process aspects of change. Second of all, you want to define a complete plan. So you want to augment what the vendor has given you, which is essentially one technical work stream within an overarching business transformation. You want to augment that with other work streams related to change management, to process improvement, even architecture and integration, data migration, program management and governance. All those different components are typically not included in these durations here. Therefore, you need to complete that plan. And lastly, having third-party support that can help you through the journey. And when I say third-party support, I'm not talking about just about the technical work stream, but I'm talking about the overarching program. Who's going to help you through that overarching program? Who's going to help you with the people and process side to change? You may have already identified who the technical work stream providers are, both in terms of software vendors and technical implementers, but you also need to make sure you have people to address people, process, project governance, data migration, all that good stuff. So third-party support, independent, objective, technology-agnostic providers like Third Stage Consulting are one great option that can help you through that process. So I hope this has given you some good detail and understanding of why disruption is so common and so much of a shock to the system with digital transformations. And most importantly, I hope this has given you some guidance on what to do about it and just to be aware of these challenges so that you can mitigate those risks. Now, for more information and strategies and best practices and tips, I encourage you to download our digital transformation report. And you can do that by scanning the QR code on the screen in front of you, or you can go to the links below in the description field that includes links to that report as well as other resources that I think will help you through your digital transformation. So I hope you found this information useful and hope you have a great day.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.